Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is a Roifield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Your Honor.
This is Dumpty Dum, sponsored by Managers.
This is Dumdy Dum, the show about the Archers and the inhabitants of Ambridge. I'm Philippa Hall, administrator of the Beechwood WhatsApp group. Revving up beside me for the ride of a lifetime is biker babe
Rosie Porty.
And hoping he's not shown the door as quickly as hapless Calvin, we have
Quentin Rayner, Jenny.
Well, just in time. Drawing up in your limo, there's you, our pampered listeners, without whom we'd be left stranded in the lay-by of podcasts. This week's Dum-de-dum is from our Mia, and that's just a cracker to listen to it another time. And on this week's episode, we hear from Marie, Emily, Witherspoon, Claire, Nana Sue, and Isabel, plus we have another anonymous email. Looking forward to that. So, Quentin, Rosie, how are you both?
I'm really well, thank you both. I went to see my first outdoor event yesterday. It was the Brass Quartet from the Scottish Symphony Orchestra at a lovely venue near me in Edinburgh. So that was wonderful.
Oh, is that it? I thought there'd be more, Rosie.
No, that's it. I'm being succinct for once.
You are. Well, I've been outside quite a lot as well this week, mainly in the garden, hauling out bushes, re-turfing bits and pieces and mowing like crazy because I think I've mentioned before we've had our grass treated, so now it's growing like a dervish. I squeezed into a suit as well this week because I went off and I was invited to be a guest editor in a university newsroom because they've got MA journalism students. So I was cracking the whip there and I actually managed to get into my suit, which I was quite pleased about after 8 months of not wearing one. I had a first as well this week. I went to the cinema with my wife for the first time in God knows how long. Great film, After Love, starring Joanna Scanlon. I thoroughly recommend that. I had a haircut. I've got throbbing toothache at the moment. And I also won big this week on the premium bonds. Big. 25 quid.
Oh, my goodness. Quentin, the drinks are on you. That's fantastic.
How about you, Philippa?
Yeah, I'm having an interesting week this week because went through exams with oldest child and now youngest child is going through them this week. He's got common entrance exams and I think they're one of the few that haven't been altered at all because of lockdown and COVID. So that it's fraught and I just can't wait for the week to be over, I'm afraid, wishing time away. But enough about our week. What did you both think about this week in Ambridge?
Well, it was quite eventful, wasn't it? to say the least. Impressions, I'd say it was a week of long forgotten but rediscovered vehicles. We had Jazza's motorbike, didn't we?
Yes.
Offering Tracy a ride of a lifetime. Eddie's limo just turned up out of the blue. We'd all forgotten about that. Lots of tweets saying, what's this bleeding limo? And of course, he bought it, I think, Eddie, to reaffirm his vows with Clary.
Yeah.
I can't remember if they reaffirmed their vows.
Not yet.
No.
Right. So the limo is going to make another appearance. I would say compare and contrast this week. We had Adam's lumbering, cumbersome talk with Rory compared to Will's gentle, kind, empathetic conversation with Mia over her heartbreak with Rory. I mean, who knew that Will could be such a great listener? I mean, he was a complete revelation. We had home truths at home farm, didn't we? Alice giving Brian both barrels. I'm sure Rosie was cheering from the rooftops about that. She revealed herself to be a very nasty and vicious drunk, I thought, and she's got further to fall. Jenny, I felt, sounds like she hasn't got the energy to drag her daughter back. She sounds desperate already, Jenny. It's only just begun, darling, I'm afraid. And the WhatsApp mishap klaxon, I would say. I mean, to be honest, I didn't think anybody could make me grind my teeth more on this program than Adam. But, I mean, God almighty, Lee's done it, hasn't he? I cannot bear the guy. Cannot bear him. Anyway, those are my impressions of the week.
You missed out Joyful Joy.
I was going to let you mention her in the context of Lee. Yes. Off you go. Talk about Joy. Bring us Joy.
Well, wonderful Joy realizing that she's made a bit of a faux pas by talking about the WhatsApp group.
What the hell's on it? What's on it? They're slagging them off already.
I've got a bad feeling about potentially photos of Lee, I don't know, unloading boxes. I think pictures of all of his action superhero figurines going viral. And then, I don't know, sort of, I almost got out my picture of the tuna and the custard to send around Twitter, but I thought, no, that's just too childish. I'm not going to do that because I'm sure that's what's on the WhatsApp group.
Yeah.
I mean, how stupid. I mean, welcome to the neighbourhood. Oh, we bought a drum kit. How to endear yourself to your new neighbours? I mean, you leave it a couple of months, don't you? Not straight away. What a fool. What a utter... I'm going to say, he's an utter tit, isn't he?
He makes Helen happy.
I think she's increasingly embarrassed by him. Anyway, sorry. Yeah.
Well, I think what you can say about Lee is he's a simple character who can be useful around the house by destroying it. he seems to make Helen happy and good luck to them. And I mean, he also makes Joy happy, and that's a good thing. I wasn't too sure about all the chit chat about Ebenezer Scrooge or whoever it was down the end of the lane and the body under the patio. I thought that was a bit inappropriate. And Lee seems to have forgotten Helen's history. But hey, let's all move on.
It's the Archer's Fairy, isn't it? The fairy dust, yeah. Philippa, have we left anything out?
Well, I was just glad there was no kissing this week because I'm sorry, I just don't want to hear the smooching over the radio wave. So I was very glad about that. But I thought I'd entered a parallel universe because we had Jazza quoting Latin.
Well, I mean, tempus fugit.
Yeah, what next? Is he going to be running the pub quiz or clerking for the council? I mean, I was just staggered by that.
Didn't he say tempus fugit? Yeah.
He did.
Bless.
That's what we think. Now, let's hear your views. And if someone wants to get in contact, how can they do that?
So to get in touch with the wonderful world of Dumpty Dum, if you'd like to comment on the Archers or leave us a plot prediction, then leave us a message on SpeakPipe, which you can find on dumptydum.com. Or you can send a voice note or text via WhatsApp to 07957-167-696, which has a +44 at the beginning if you're calling from outside the UK.
If you prefer to get in touch with us via email, you're very welcome to. We'd love to hear from you. Head also then to dumptydum.com and you can click the Contact Us tab at the top. And this is what our anonymous emailer seems to be doing with regularity. So reveal yourself or email anonymously, but that's how you do it.
So, what did you, our lovely dum-de-dum community, think of the week?
Hello, Average 3962.
And first of all, we have the wonderful Marie.
Hello, everyone. My name is Marie. I live in Winchester, the ancient capital of Wessex, and I'm a first-time caller. I absolutely love the Archers, and my vintage is Rob and Helen. That was an incredible storyline. It was like listening to a psychological thriller every day, which was just, you know, pretty great, really. Don't often get that chance. But yeah, I love it. Kept me going, really, through lockdown and everything else, the monologues. Well, they weren't too bad, were they, really? And, well, just wanted to say that Peggy was on the cusp of telling Jennifer the other day about the fact that she knew that Alice had been an alcoholic. I'm just wondering if she's going to get the opportunity again of Bill Bean and what the backlash would be. You know, will all hell break loose? Will shit hit the fan big time? Will they all fall out? I'm just really keen to know. I just wanted to know what you lot thought. And thanks for your wonderful Dumpy Dump show. That's kept me going too. You know, I do it while I do, listen to it while I do my housework, which is just, you know, great. If I've run out of Dumpy Dump, the housework, that's it. Stop. Anyway, thanks again. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you so much, Marie, for joining us in the wonderful world of Dumpty Dum and doing your shake and vap like Joy was while listening to Dumpty Dum rather than Lee's drum beats. I think our hopefully melodious voices are a little bit nicer than I think Lee, Jack and Henry going AC/DC on the drum kit. In terms of Peggy, so she's tried to tell Jennifer that she knew about the alcoholism at New Year. She's failed to do so far. I think it will eventually come out. And I'm just wondering if Jenny will end up sending her mother a video note telling her how she feels, like Peggy did to her son. And I think it may have to be kind of X-rated with swearing. If it was me, I would be absolutely horrified that my mother had not told me about this huge family secret, because Jenny could have intervened earlier. There could have been a family intervention. And we're now kind of watching this awful situation unravel again. And it will continue until Alice decides enough's enough. But Quentin, do you think that Jenny would send a video message? I mean, she's meant to be doing the village website as well, isn't she? So perhaps she could send something on the, she could post it on the village website.
I'm a bit concerned about video messages, bearing in mind the disaster when Peggy sent one to Tony for his 70th. So maybe we should steer clear of that. Well, first of all, Marie, thanks for calling in. We love first-time caller-inners because they are our bread and butter. So the more the merrier, please, because this podcast relies on you, you the listeners, to get in touch with us to keep feeding this machine that is Dumpty Dum. So welcome, Marie. Keep calling in, and delighted that we keep your house nice and spruce and not filthy. So I'm glad it encourages your homework. You can rely on a bit of filth here on the podcast now and again. Anyway, right. So what's your backlash you're worried about? I think the horse has bolted, hasn't it, really? It's a bit late. I really wanted Peggy to tell Jenny because it was one of those, oh, for goodness sake, just get out. And Jenny had to go off and help Alice, didn't she? So it's a conversation yet to be had. Will Peggy now rein back now that she knows it's all out in the open? I don't know. But I think you're right, Rosie. I mean, if Peggy was to find out that she knew earlier on, Jenny is going to go ballistic, isn't she? So I think we have trouble at mill with that one, definitely.
Yes, I agree. I mean, I think Peggy's got to confess. She's got to tell Jennifer, but Jennifer's going to be really destabilized this week. I think she's going to have so much to try and cope with, because she's always, I've felt, tried to pretend that everything's fine, and taking Rory into the family, she just made that decision, which was absolutely brilliant. But she's not allowed herself to dwell on what happened and just move forward positive. And it's sort of all coming home to roost, and she can't keep ignoring that. And Alice has just shone a very bright light on all that happened when Rory was born and the circumstances of that. So I dread to think what will happen if Peggy does admit to it and Jennifer's in a really low place. And I'm interested to see also how it then impacts on Chris this week, because we haven't been hearing much from his perspective. Yes, we've heard from Susan, but not from Chris, as to how he's feeling and whether he feels he should have got help earlier on and all of that. I mean, there's no perfect answer to this. But I should say, first of all, Marie, you are very welcome here. And if you like doing any housework, and you're free, then please come and help my house, because I'm spending more time on the arches and not in the house.
We'll do an extra podcast for her if you come around the Kenai house.
Yes, gladly.
But just going back to Jenny, though, I think, you know, in that big scene on Thursday, you know, when Jenny threw Calvin out, there was an awful moment, wasn't there, when you just realised the enormity of it had hit Jenny. You know, when she exclaimed that Alice is an alcoholic, Alice has an illness, you're incredibly sick, and you know you are. And when Brian then joined the fray, there was that, I felt there was that desperation in Jenny. I thought, blimey, have you got it in you to get through another familial battle when you consider what she's been through before from Brian and, you know, Rory and all that and other problems she's had, and she's having to sell the house. Has she got it in her? Has Jenny got another fight in her? I wonder.
I was interested in how she reacted to Calvin, because at one point I thought she was going to offer to sort of make them tea on a tray and, you know, hoover around them, because that's Jenny. You know, she's normally, oh, darling, and yes, helping out.
Have another drink.
Yes. So it showed me just how she's reached a point where, you know, a line has been crossed.
She's frightened. She's really frightened, isn't she?
Well, I mean, I think if you have a seriously ill child and you see that child putting themselves at huge risk, then it's terrifying. And I would really, I really feel for Jenny in this situation, because she's you know, watching her youngest child effectively kill herself through alcohol. And it's just absolutely awful. So I'm not surprised she's exhibiting extreme stress. And I think what I would hope is that Brian finally wakes up to the harsh reality. And luckily for Alice, Calvin was a very nice chap, as Jenny referred to him. He was a lovely guy. Things could have been very different in that scenario in a very unpleasant way. And I think that's probably what was going through Jenny's mind, to be honest, was that, crikey, you know, this could be a very different story. So I think everybody listening would be hearing that pain in her voice and just going, you know, enough's really enough now.
I felt sorry for the actor who played Calvin. Can you imagine his joy when he's got told by his agent, you got a part in the Archers? Oh, great, great. That'll be some regular money. You're booted out after 2 minutes.
I couldn't even find who the actor was, and I searched, and he wasn't even on the cast list for that episode. So I didn't know if it was sort of David Archer trying to do a different accent or something. But I did think Calvin was the most polite, sober drunk I have ever come across. It was like he was a child coming to play, you know. Thank you very much, Mrs. Aldridge. Thank you for having me.
Do you reckon Helen, maybe we can get Helen to go out with Calvin instead of the terrible Lee? No. I'm going to push for this. Bring back Calvin.
Right, that's a sign we need to move on. So thank you very much, Marie. Do call again. And now let's go over to the brilliant Emily.
Hello, Jumpy Dummers. Emily calling from Abu Dhabi. Just a cool 38 degrees today. Peaked at 45 yesterday. Oh, I'm just not made for this heat. Just doing small pickups, so very quick one. I was really disappointed in Emma's conversation with Mia yesterday's episode about Mia's campaign to make the people of Ambridge recognise what they're doing with plastics. Don't get me wrong, I'm finding Mia very irritating with the way she's approaching this and just the general way it's being written. But she has a point and she's passionate about it and she should be heard properly. And Emma was so dismissive of it, so patronising, saying, oh, you know, you don't want to ruffle feathers, and just had, was giving the impression she just didn't want to talk about it and had no time for it. And but then, within the same conversation, she was wanting to talk about, oh, you've got a crush, and let's talk about that, and giving it all this attention and advice and things like that. And I just thought, you know, I know she's trying to help and step in because Nick's not there, but Mia doesn't just need a mother role for boys. She might want a mother role for how she develops as a person in general. And it just felt really, it just didn't sit well with me that Emma had no time for something that was, you know, a passion project, something that's interesting, that's impactful, but yet she wanted to talk to her about boys and writing names, their names on a piece of paper. Both really important points, but she shouldn't have dismissed Mia's concerns to start with. That's it from me. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Emily. Without a dog this time, and coping in 45 degrees of heat when it peaks. I don't know how you do it, Emily. Lovely to hear from you, as ever, from Abu Dhabi. I think the heat's getting to you, Emily, because I don't entirely agree with you. I take your point that you felt that Emma was a bit dismissive, and I know in the past you haven't been a big fan of Emma's because you felt she was very unkind to Alice earlier on. I struggle listening to Mia when she's being preachy, and I know I'm bad because I tend to drift. I think, oh, I just don't want to be preached at anymore. And she does great with me. So I can see why Emma wanted to get off the subject. Perhaps she was finding it irritating as well. I think she was also concerned about the graphic photos that Mia intended to use. But you're right, you know, a passion should be nurtured within somebody young. But I also think she did want to get on to what she perceived as a potential fall and pain for Mia, because she could see how it was going with Rory. And I think my reading was, I think that she could see that Rory was not feeling the same and that Mia was in for some heartbreak. So I felt Emma steered it that way deliberately because she wanted to get onto that because she didn't want to see Mia get hurt. So I see what you're saying, Emily. I don't entirely agree. I'm defending Emma a bit, but I think you need to get in the shade.
Wow. Well, it's been really hot here in Scotland, but it's definitely not been anywhere near 45 degrees, maybe 19. And that's very hot. I think for me, my sort of solution to the Mia environmental activism program is for her to kind of work with Joy and with Kirsty. Because Joy was able to get the fly tipping thing resolved within 24 hours through her undercover links to Borsetra CID. And Kirsty is a committed environmentalist. So I think if Mia kind of partnered up with Joy and Kirsty, she'd be able to guide her messaging more appropriately. I'm not sure about having the Instagram account with kind of graphic pictures of, I imagine, wildlife being tangled in and plastic, because I see a lot of that through some of the wildlife, you know, organisations and sort of self-isolating bird club that Chris Packham set up during lockdown. And the problem is it's too graphic and it turns people off because they just feel they're being exposed to something really, really unpleasant and you can't get the message across. Whereas if you tailor your message appropriately and give people solutions, it has far more impact. But I think Kirsty and Joy would be able to help tutor Mia towards that. Whereas Emma is definitely a fiery woman. So I wouldn't be going to Emma for guidance on campaign strategies because I could see her kind of, you know, burning bales of hay outside Brian Aldridge's house. Oh, actually, I could join her. And I do think that Emma, because she's been speaking with Rory fairly recently, and she will have, I think, been able to sort of, as you say, Quentin, work out that, you know, Rory's not really going to be into Mia at this point in time. And I actually thought that it was incredibly well acted, the sort of the scenes between Mia and Rory and the hesitancy it was wonderful to listen to. And yes, and Will being an amazing father, and I was flabbergasted at how well he handled it. I thought it was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, it's a revelation.
I didn't know if these sort of graphic images were just photos of carrier bags in a farmyard or something, you know, really simple. But I did go on to Instagram to find this because I thought, ah, the BBC are so good at this sort of thing. There's going to be an Instagram account, and there wasn't. So I was a little bit disappointed with that. But I just wondered if, because Emma, I agree with Emily, Emma did come across as awkward. And I wondered if it was because she saw Rory initially as an Aldridge. And so she was just, no, you're not someone I want to associate with, talk to you after what you're putting my Christopher through. And so I sort of felt that coming across, but maybe it's just me. But then I think here we've got Rory and Mia, they've both lost their mums. Wouldn't it be wonderful if they could be really good friends? Obviously nothing more than that, but in a way, in time, it would be lovely if they could be friends, because I think they could both help each other deal with some of what life's thrown at them. But clearly that it would take a while for that to happen.
Yes, it was very touching when Mia opened up about her feelings about losing her mother, both to Rory and to Will. And I thought they were very well written, very well acted, and revealed a side to Mia that is much more, want of a better word, appealing, you know, somebody who you can lock into more easily. And we need to hear that needs to be developed more from Mia, because I think there is potential in her to become a more interesting, rounded character. But I mean, she's only 15 at the moment, but, you know, one has to say that. But yeah, we felt her pain, didn't we? Heartbreak.
We did. But now we need to go to Witherspoon. Now, normally, when we go to Witherspoon, we play what I call the Frasier music. But things are changing sort of music-wise in terms of what we can use on the podcast and we can't. So I'm sorry, Witherspoon, but this is the introduction you're going to get. I'm proud to introduce the call from Witherspoon, and I'm sorry we can't play his usual tune. To hear his wise words, we're over the moon, and I hope to have a better introduction soon. So, from Upper Lower, East West Side.
I think that's better than the theme music. Well done.
I agree. Well done.
Greetings, everyone in Dumpty Dum Towers and all Dumpty Dummers around the world. It's Witherspoon and Angus Haggis here. I'm not going to spend much time talking about Alice and her drunken explosion at her parents' on Thursday. All I'll say is, Alice, get thee to residential rehab and do go through a detox protocol again, because it's clear you're drinking daily and heavily, and an abrupt cessation of alcohol will result in withdrawal symptoms and possible seizures and DTs. I do want to chat about Tuesday's conversation between Rory, Adam, and Ian. I know I posted about it on Facebook, and there was lots of chatter about the episode on social media, so I apologize if I'm being repetitive for some. First off, I must admonish Mia for falling into gender stereotyping when she remarked about George, "What do you expect? He's a boy." I think with some hindsight, she will feel badly about having made that comment. Meanwhile, it was no coincidence that Rory's talk with his elders occurred on June 1st, the start of Gay Pride Month, which encompasses all in the LGBTQ+ community. I know some Dumpty Dummers didn't enjoy their conversation, but I listened to it twice, and as a gay man, I thought it was well done. I came out in the mid-1980s. Adam and Ian would have come out in the early 90s. All I'll say, it was not easy then, and many carry that trauma still. It's not an easy conversation to initiate with someone. Oh, by the way, are you gay? And so we felt that awkwardness. I thought Adam and Ian handled it well, were open to hearing what Rory had to say, were very accepting of his saying he was bi, and will be good mentors to him. It's important for this generation to hear the stories of our generation. Rory, in turn, was appreciative. My prediction is he's going to need their support when he does decide to come out to Brian and Jennifer. That isn't going to be easy. And for those few of you who thought that Adam sounded predatory, shame on you, and get your mind out of the gutter. You're perpetuating stereotypes and conscious and unconscious biases that were used against our community for many years to try to prevent us having access to many opportunities, such as in teaching and medicine. Okay, I got all that off my chest. Thanks for listening to me, and happy Pride. Talk to you soon.
Hear, hear, Witherspoon. I completely agree with that sentiment. I was really shocked to see some strange messages in social media saying that they thought that kind of, you know, Adam was being predatory towards effectively his stepbrother. I just thought it was just very, very odd and unacceptable and not part of our Dumpty Dum community. We're not going back to Section 28 in the UK. And I think that we should be respectful of everybody in our community. And that includes the actors in The Archers as well, when we're talking about these themes and topics. It is interesting around Mia kind of saying in an offhand way about George, oh, he's a boy. I mean, all we've heard about George recently is him wanting to go on a lad's holiday. We haven't really heard him, you know, doing anything with a combine harvester or that baling machine that Emma was roaming around on earlier in the year that we heard Shambridge do an amazing impression of. So I guess we don't really know what George is like. I mean, I think he would be a good candidate for taking over from Jazzer in the shearing business, because another schism is happening in that Jazzer is getting too old to be a shearer. Who knew? I thought our brawny Scotsman would be shearing forever, but he's hanging up those shears. So I think if we could hear more of George, we'd get a better, more, you know, as you were saying earlier, Quentin, kind of rounded view of it, of his characterization.
Well, I mean, Jazzer obviously just wants to spend more time with Tracy, doesn't he? And who can blame him? Who can blame him? Hanging up his shears for Tracy. Yeah, here to what you said, Rosie, off the back of Witherspoon's call. Absolutely agree with all the sentiments expressed by both of you. And this predatory nonsense is that exactly that, nonsense. I didn't sense that at all. I just felt it was classic Adam, you know, leaden and cumbersome and just piling in heavy-handed and arrogantly thinking, declared, I know exactly how to handle this, and your heart sunk. You thought, oh, God, I bet you don't. So I found him. What I loved about it was that he was making it into this big deal and offering sincere support because of what he went through in the 90s and what Witherspoon experienced in the 80s. There was a lack of support. It was a very big deal in those days. But Rory showed the generational gap. He was miles ahead of them and so at ease with saying, no, don't worry, no, I'm bisexual. You know, it's no problem, you know. And I think he wrong-footed them in a lovely way. And you saw that you saw progress, actually. That's what was revealed, quite rightly so, within society. I thought Witherspoon was a bit tough on me, admonishing her for saying that. I actually thought that throwaway line from her revealed her to be the young girl that she is. She's only 15, and that's the sort of thing a girl, I think, would say without thinking. Slightly clashes with her very aware, her awareness about and grown-up approach to environmental issues. So you could say, well, you can't have it both ways. She's, you know, really clued up on and up to date with social mores on one thing, but then we'll just use a gender stereotype on another. But I forgave her that because I thought, you know, she's so sort of blinded by love that I think that's a sort of a thing a lovesick person would say. So I forgive her for that.
Yes. Well, it's been a happy Pride Month. We want to celebrate the community and we want to celebrate the Dumpty Dum community as well. And I love the way Rory ended that episode by saying, oh, the fact that you care means a lot. And I thought, yeah, that's what it's all about. And I'm sorry that there's been some online issues about that. You know, I can't imagine how hard it was coming out in the 80s and 90s. And I would hope that it's much easier now and people are much more accepting. But just wonderful to have this covered and to compare people coming out in different decades and what they faced and learn from it. I thought Adam, he was doing his best. I mean, he's Adam. He, you know, he wasn't going to suddenly change into somebody else. And the fact that I did have my head in my hands listening to it, but he did it with care. Yeah. And it was just great to have that conversation and to hear it. So, yeah.
Can you get a cushion patched up after you've ripped it to bits with your teeth? Is it possible?
That's why your tooth's hurting, Quentin. You've been doing that, you see.
Oh, it probably is, yeah. It is, yeah.
Well, we should ask Wicked Kraken because she's the amazing lady that did the embroidery for Sarah Hihir. So maybe Wicked Kraken could get in touch with some cushion repair strategies.
Now on to Claire, who will be forever known as Fix Your Own Shells.
Hey Dumpty Dum, Claire from Clapham here. Just wanted to say off the back of Wednesday's episode that I'm so, so grateful to the Archers writers and editors that two things that I thought were going to drag on painfully were done and dusted in a very short space of time. So the first was a conversation between Ian, Adam and Rory. And I know obviously Rory's got more people to come out to or whatever, but still, I thought that was going to be some sort of long, drawn out, torturous thing, but it was all over and done within an episode. Fantastic. And secondly, Mia and Rory, I thought we were going to get weeks of Mia mooning after Rory and Rory having to eventually turn her down gently. And that was all over ever so quickly as well. So please let's hope that those conversations are done and we don't have to deal with all the trauma of it. It's dragging on. Usually they make these things last longer and until we're all sick of them. So I just want to make a note that isn't it nice when that stuff gets dealt with and done? Maybe there is something about having only four episodes a week that's useful after all. Okay, keep up the good work. Bye.
Thank you. Fix Your Own Shelves. Lovely to hear from you again, Claire. Of course, you're a big fan in the We Fix You Bens, which is otherwise known as Philippa. that's true, isn't it? You fixed your sink U Bend, didn't you?
It's my finest moment, Quentin. It really was. Yes, I just said I have to channel Susan and Jennifer and fix it. Could have gone either way, but yes, it was successful.
Congratulations to you all. Well done in your DIY fields. I'd like Claire's point. They had the potential, both those things, to go on and on and on. I think with the Alice alcoholism story, we've got enough to be dragging on at the moment, haven't we? Funny, isn't it? Are both those potential drag-onerers, if we can call it that, involve Rory? Perhaps the actor's a bit fed up because he must have thought, oh, God, this is potential, isn't it? I'm back to my Calvin point, but he must have thought, great, I've got a good long storyline with Mia and a good long storyline with Adam and Ian, and it's like done in one episode. So disappointment in Rory's household. But, yeah, I take Claire's point. And sometimes, yeah, the narrative, the script, the plot has to be given some zip, some impetus, doesn't it? And it needed that, didn't it, to sort a couple of potential biggies out quickly. So I'm with Claire on that.
I agree. I think it was actually quite nice to see things sort of resolved, you know, without kind of 9 months of heartache. And I think what's going to be interesting is if we actually meet Troy. You know, we've heard a lot about Troy and spinning plates back in the day and Rory's birthday and all sorts of things and kind of Troy the Greek god. So it'd be really interesting if he actually is brought in as a character and to see how that kind of dynamic plays out, I guess, with Ben as well, because, you know, Ben and Rory are kind of partners in crime. So how will that kind of manifest in terms of their friendship? And have we heard when Ben's nursing course is starting?
That's a good point. Yeah, that should be a good storyline, shouldn't it?
I'd have thought it would be September, but...
But I mean, there's all sorts that's been unresolved, isn't it? We got Rex and his pigs. We got the nursing. I mean, where's Freddie gone with all his... whatever he's going to do at Lower Loxley? He was being invited to threesomes, wasn't he, about a few weeks ago? And what's all happened with that one? I mean, it's gone, isn't it? So we've got quite a few loose ends. Maybe that's why they're getting through some of these ones, you know, these plot lines now, so we can get back to the bread and butter stuff.
I agree with Claire. I was so grateful that these stories weren't drawn out. And for Rory to tell me a no, I think it takes someone really strong to say no straight away. And he did it in a lovely way. Some people could have dragged it out because they didn't want to hurt the feelings, but he just handled it beautifully. But I was wondering, Rosie and Quentin, if your heart was broken, who would you talk to in Ambridge?
Ooh.
Joy.
Ah, okay.
Joy, because she's had her heart broken by her horrible ex-husband and she has this difficult relationship with Rochelle, her daughter, I think Joy would be a wonderful shoulder to cry on. Although I'm now a bit worried about the WhatsApp group in terms of indiscretions being shared.
Quentin?
God, that's a toughie, that is. I want to say Brian, but I don't think I'd get very far with Brian.
No, please. No.
I think Emma would be pretty good. Emma would be good. Fallon wouldn't be bad. I can't believe I'm saying this. Possibly Susan? I don't know why. She's got a lot of... Clary? I think somebody with some life experience, you know, somebody who's... wouldn't talk to Tracy because she got through so many. I don't think she could. She got time for heartbreak.
What about Jakob? I think Jakob could be good because he's...
Jakob would be brutal, wouldn't he? But yeah. Honest. There'd be no sentimentality.
Quentin, I'm just wondering what sort of painkillers you're on for your toothache with some of those observations you've come out with.
No, the fact that Susan came tumbling out of my mouth has staggered me.
Never mind. Each to their own.
What are these things I'm on? God.
It's a free world.
Who would you go for? I mean, there's Jim, isn't there? But
yeah, that's exactly who I was going to say. I'd go to Jim because I think he would listen and he would give you sound.
Well, has he got much emotional hinterland? Yeah, I'd want somebody who's been through the mill a bit.
Well, I think Jim's been through the mill.
No, but in terms of relationships, you know?
No, well, he lost his wife, didn't he? So, you know, he loved his wife, and they were married for more than, I think, 40 years. So he's been through, you know, romantic loss, and he can refer back to, you know, over 2,000 years of Greek and Roman tragedy to refer back to, and romantic lessons in terms of partner choices. Medea, if she'd made some better choice earlier on, wouldn't have ended up in quite such a grim situation. Avoid men with fleece is a good romantic tip. But yes.
Well, it's Joy and Jim then, isn't it? It's JJ all over again.
Yeah, Joy and Jim.
All roads lead back to Joy and Jim, don't they? I think we've established that.
Well, thank you, Claire. That was a great call. So now we go on to another splendid call. It is Nana Sue.
Hello, everyone in Dumpty Dum Land. It's Nana Sue here. Wasn't Thursday's episode of The Archers a cracking one? Alice and Brian going at it at last. Her comeback to him, "Don't you talk to me about marriage vows. I've been waiting for someone to say that to Brian for ages." I was wondering what it must have been like for Alice finding out she'd got a half-brother called Rory and that her dad had been carrying on with the doctor's wife. I mean, small village, it all gets around, there's nowhere to hide. It must have been humiliating for her, in part. And then she's got to accept him as a brother, who she quite likes, by the sound of things. He seems like a nice addition. You can't get round the pain it must have been for the whole family when it all came out about Rory. And you have to wonder if that might be a cause for Alice's problems now. Always trying to be the daughter and knowing she'd never be the son that Brian had always wanted, being the good girl to Daddy. And now she's saying, "I'm just like you. So suck it up, Brian." Oh, well, let's see what happens next week. Anyway, thanks for all you do. Keep it up. Bye for now.
Suck it up, Brian. Another theme to go on the T-shirts. I completely agree with the narrative there, Nana Sue, in relation to the sort of being 14 years old and finding out your dad's been having an affair, that he's fathered a child with this woman, the entire village talking about it. Even the most resilient teenager would have found that incredibly difficult to deal with. And, you know, from an early age, Alice has had to prove herself to try and get Brian's attention because he wanted a boy. And to then have to deal with the, you know, adoption by Jenny of Rory into the family home, and to have that kind of, you know, continuous reminder of your father's continued infidelity and love for another woman. You know, he was in love with Siobhan. This wasn't a one-night stand. He professed his love for her and, you know, followed her to Frankfurt, you know, a few years after Rory was born. And there are all sorts of, you know, kind of just tragic things that have happened in Alice's life that do go back to Brian and his fundamentally selfish approach to the world, in the sense that, you know, he just wants to do what he wants to do, and, you know, others can just suck it up, as Nana Sue says. And I completely agree with, as I say, the narrative arc that you've created there. And it isn't just because I find Brian to be patronizing, self-entitled, misogynistic, horrendous human being. I also agree with the caller-innerers.
You've been waiting for this call, haven't you, for years, haven't you, Rosie?
I have. Thank you, Nana Sue.
Nana Sue has expressed everything that you've ever thought about Brian, haven't you? Hasn't she?
She has.
Look, you know, I love Brian for the reasons I've expressed many times before, because of just being the rounded character for all his flaws that he is. It's another tough week to us Brian defenders, really. I said earlier that she, Alice, gave him both barrels. I mean, she reloaded as well, didn't she? I mean, didn't she say, I lie, I'm selfish, I drink too much, reload. I'm just like you. It was good acting with what he didn't say. You could sense the shock from him. And then when he came out with, think about your wedding vows, you could hear the jaws of five million Archer's listeners drop. I mean, talk about opening up a hole for yourself, Brian. He's out of his depth. He is absolutely reeling, isn't he? And this is what's going to reveal more and more, I think, when he just realizes what is facing them. I feel sorry for them as parents now, because their perfect little world with their perfect little daughter is suddenly being revealed as not. And do they have the equipment to cope? I wonder. And there's so much dramatic potential there. But on a human level, I feel for Brian to be told that to your face by the daughter that you are your favorite is hurtful. I think Nana Sue's analysis of the undercurrent that's going on, that's been going on there for years, was very, very accurate. Always trying to be the son that he never had up to that point, probably is fueling a lot of Alice's anger. And was Brian's behavior over the years, did that contribute to her turning to the bottle? I suppose we're going to find out bit by bit. But yeah, you said a lot there, Nana Sue, and it all hit home.
Oh, indeed. It was a very eloquent message, I think, a call-in. Absolutely superb. It was interesting. I was reading recently Charles Collingwood's autobiography, Brian and Me, and he made the point about how Alice just left home when Rory came to live with them. And I admit I'd forgotten that. And so, and that was a few years ago that he wrote that book. So it clearly stuck out in his mind as a pivotal time for them, and the impact on Alice. Brian is not helping himself at all. I've been shaking my head at him a lot. What I find interesting, though, is that he seems fixated on the issue of love. If you love each other, you'll get through it. If you love each other, you'll overcome the obstacles. It comes down to love in the end. Now, that's not the Brian that I knew. And so I'm just a bit perplexed about that. And surely now he sees the situation clearly. I'm really looking forward to listening this week, but equally I'm dreading it because I fear for sort of more uncomfortable listening.
I mean, I mean, but what can happen is that people, they revert to tropes that they've heard other people say. And historically, Jenny has been the strong partner. When things have gone drastically wrong with the poisoning of the Am, with Siobhan, I imagine with Mandy Beesborough and the others, Jenny has always had this, she's the kind of lodestar of the family. She's the strong one that, you know, holds firm and love can, you know, family love can fix everything. And I imagine that Brian was just basically quoting things that he'd heard her say in the past when talking to Kate, probably, because Kate's been at that kitchen, the dining room table that I thought had been taken over to Rory's new house. You know, Jenny will have had this conversation with Kate about familial love and love being the most important thing in relation to Nolly and Sipo, when, you know, Kate's life has been burning down in the past. And I think Brian was just repeating things he's heard other people say, rather than actually it being his authentic voice, because that didn't sound like Brian to me either.
He's clutching at straws, wasn't he? That's what I mean. He's emotionally out of his depth now.
Mm.
It was interesting when Alice was laying into it that she only was able to list one lover, because others had been listing them on various platforms. I mean, I'd forgotten he had a thing with Caroline. And then he also had a thing with a woman called Becky Turner. Who's she? Becky? Was it a Becky, wasn't there?
And there was that lawyer, wasn't there? Wasn't there the lady that advised BL? Didn't he have a fling with her?
And all he wanted was a son. And when Alice was born, he was so annoyed that it was a girl that he went off with a woman that day as well. So
he didn't. Mandy Beesborough, he went to the races. So basically he was there. And as he said to Jim and Jazzer at the head end, which I still find massively offensive, Brian, Charles, if you're listening, you know, he went off and, you know, went off with a Randy Mandy.
Mm.
And it wouldn't surprise me if Lavinia and Sabrina have not also been involved, but that's just me being cheeky about those two ladies who I think have a good time in the sack with various Ambridge men.
Well, let's leave that one there. Thank you so much for your call, Nancy. That was wonderful. Now we go to Isabel. And I think it's fair to say in this call, she takes us through her thought process as she deliberates recent times in Ambridge.
Hi, so this call's about this week and last week's. Alice, last week. She wasn't even in there. I can't say anything about her. That woman, she makes me so angry. I mean, you know, like when the social services referred her to the drug and alcohol services and she said no. I mean, she thinks it's about her. It's not about her. It's about, well, it is about her, but it's also about Chris and her baby that needs her. A baby needs her. She's not getting better for the baby's sake. Alice, this week. Oh, she makes me even worse. On Thursday, that I cannot believe she brought another boy home. She's still married and she's got a baby. Honestly. I think I agree with Jennifer on this one. And, you know, that's saying something because sometimes I don't agree with her. But I do on this one. Honestly. She couldn't even remember this boy's name. Honestly. Kirsty and the dairy fiasco last week. Well, for a second, when Kirsty said that her head was itchy, I thought she was having some kind of allergic reaction, but I'm glad she wasn't. But then, you know, when she got yogurt all over herself and she was making all the noises, I thought she'd hurt herself. Honestly, she could have toned down the noises a bit. The decorating chaos. Lee. I don't think he should be doing the decorating. Joy and Lee. Brilliant. I liked Monday's episode. Because there was a lot of laughing, a lot of light relief. Jazza and Ed. I found it weird when Jazza was saying he was going to retire, you know, and settle down with his girlfriend. Although, I'm not even sure he's got a girlfriend anymore after what he did to her. I think that's all.
Ooh, was that it? Honestly, how many times can you say honestly, Isabel? she was quite riled this week, wasn't she?
Yes.
Clearly very annoyed with Alice.
Yes.
So, particularly that she brought another boy home and couldn't remember his name. We feel for the nice lad, Calvin, and what he was put through by Alice and what Alice then put Jenny through. Glad you agree with Jenny there, because I was applauding Jenny in that scene as well, the way she was just honest about everything. Lee shouldn't decorate. Agree. Lee shouldn't do an awful lot as well, I would suggest as well, but don't get me started. Lots of laughing you like between Joy and Lee. Yeah, it was a bit squirm-making, wasn't it? Because you just knew something bad is on that WhatsApp group. Can't wait to hear what that is. Jazz has only hung up his shears, hasn't he? His sheep shearing shears. So I'm sure he'll find gameful. Well, he is. He's back with his girls, isn't he? His pigs. So he is working. Hasn't entirely retired. And who could blame him for wanting to spend more time with the lovely docile and gentle Tracy? It's about what I would like to hear your perspective on 15-year-old Mia. I think that would be very interesting to see how you think that's all been handled and whether you think Mia is authentic and the way she responded to Rory and her heartbreak. So have a think about that.
That's a great idea. I think it'd be very interesting to hear how accurate that representation is. And I think just in terms of Alice, Isabel, remember, she's really ill. So when you're being harsh about Alice and judging her, just remember that alcoholism is a very, very serious illness. And adults make very poor decisions when they are very unwell. And I'm going to leave it there.
Yes, well said, well said.
Well, we'll... Jazza and Tracy stay together? I hope so. I mean, I just think it's sort of an honest relationship in a way that, you know, I don't know who was right or who was wrong with that motorbike incident. I really don't. But just a shame for them that it ended up that well. Maybe Jazza will take up his sheep shears again and say that's enough time with Tracy. I don't know. And right.
Head for the hills. Yes.
What is on this WhatsApp group? We've established it's not about the drumming because Joy said, oh, they haven't mentioned the drums yet. So was it, as Rosie has said, is it all about the tuna casserole, or is it about the everything else, the Marvel figures? What do you think?
I think the first post was, has Helen had another son?
That's really good.
Rosie, what do you think?
So I think it was a picture of, and I know it's inappropriate, apologies. I think it's probably a picture of Lee with his top off, bending over.
You almost sound yearning there, Rosie.
I think it was Joy and Marilyn. And who's this Marilyn that's turned up out of nowhere? So Marilyn, who? Two doors. Marilyn, her neighbour that was talking about Ebenezer and the dead lady under the patio.
I must have drifted off.
Yes. One of Joy's, so Joy and Marilyn have been gossiping on the old WhatsApp.
Oh,
and I think there may have been some inappropriate, salacious comments, which I would obviously not condone.
Of course not. Of course not. It wouldn't feed this podcast, would it? No.
Not at all.
What about you, Philippa?
Oh, I think it's something quite serious, because the way Joy sounded, it wasn't just, oh, you know, you have to forgive us some of our laughs. I think there's some real... pretty nasty gossiping going on, and you know, scrolling back to newspaper articles and all sorts of things. I think it's,
oh no,
what about Kirsty and Phil, do you think?
No, I think it's about Helen and Rob.
Oh, right, going back to Rob and all.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah.
That's
what I think anyway, but yeah, hopefully we will find out this week. But those are your calls, wonderful calls as always. Thank you so much. And I asked the question, have we had an email? I believe we have.
We have. So if listeners can remember, a few weeks ago, we had a missive from Mr. Anon of Ambridge. And the email is anon@ambridge.com.
Ah.
So this is real. This is a real person from Ambridge who's got in touch with us. And his latest missive is, Dear Rosie, Philippa and Quentin, thank you for being such good agony aunts and uncles. I feel I can trust your advice. I wonder if you can help me again. I'm concerned about the brick-throwing girl and that she's got away with it again. She banged into me the other day, clearly drunk, and the family don't seem to be able to help her. What should I do? I am worried about how things will turn out and want to help. Thank you for your help. What my view on this, Mr. Anon, is that some leafleting may be helpful. There is an organization called Al-Anon, which is an organization for the friends and family members of alcoholics. And then obviously there's Alcoholics Anonymous, and there are other support groups as well. So what I would do is I would start downloading useful leaflets. I would put a little fact sheet together, and I would stick it through Brian and Jennifer's door and give them some handy hints. That's my kind of guidance. What about you, Quentin? Anything more specific than leafleting?
I've got a theory that I think we can uncover Anon of Ambridge.
Go on.
I think it's Calvin. He's wormed his way in. He's got drunk with Alice. He's got inside our house. He was on the verge of trying to help. Because he didn't sound drunk enough, did he? So I think he's pretending to be drunk. He was there just about to help, maybe start handing out the leaflets. And he gets thrown out by Jenny. So come on, Calvin, reveal yourself to be Mr. Anon. But I think his intentions were sound, bless him. He was there to try and help and he got chucked out.
Rosie, when you said you were going to leaflet, I thought, or you recommended leafleting, I thought you just meant, you know, having leaflets with "it's not fair" written on and posting them through just everybody's letterboxes. But no, that wasn't what you were saying. I just love getting these emails. Please keep them coming. If anybody else wants advice from Agony Aunts Uncles, you know, here we are to dispense such incredibly high levels of wisdom. Or
who needs Jenny when you've got us three? Eh?
I think we're great. I think we're really good at this kind of thing. So if people do have life challenges facing them, just get in touch and, you know, we'll give you our words of wisdom.
Aren't I supposed to say at this point, please note we are not professionals and we do not have any qualifications in this. I think we just need to make that point. But yes, come on, okay. more the merrier.
I might write in anonymously and say, dear Agony Aunts and Uncles, I've got an addiction. It's called the Archers. Help.
I think if that one comes in, Quentin, you've kind of given it away now, but never mind. Yeah, well, wonderful. Yeah. Thank you all. So now we need to just sit back for some socials with Sandra. But again, we don't have the usual intro music. So in order to salute all people on social media, especially the Dum-de-Dum Facebook community and Sandra, the rounder-upper this week, we need to applaud you. Quentin, Rosie, join me.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
This is Sandra with the social media roundup for the week beginning Monday the 31st of May. There has been some confusion about voices during the week, but no actors have been replaced. A few were confused about Calvin and thought at first that it was Lee, but it was a different actor. Here are some of the highlights of the week. The week began with Ed and Jazza shearing sheep. As Jazza had told Ed that he wouldn't be shearing anymore, I put up a poll for suggestions for a new partner. George was the absolute winner with 53 votes. Of course, there were many off-the-wall suggestions, including Joy, Raz, Peggy, Linda, and, of course, Scruff. Helen and Lee have now moved into the Beechwood house. Jonah Titchmarsh thinks that Helen and Lee are well suited. They are equally annoying in different ways. Suzanne Steele is not alone in believing that the purpose of Lee is to fight off Rob on his return. I'm still not sure that Rob will be back, but who knows? There was a lot of discussion around the evening with Helen, Lee and Joy. One topic was on the WhatsApp group that Joy appeared to be trying to hide. There were allusions to previous comments about Helen's past, but of course that won't be accessible to a new subscriber. Lillian McCarthy thought that many Beechwood residents may be rather snobby. Sarah Davidson couldn't believe that Jack had reached the grand old age of 5. Sadly, time flies, even in the Archers. Gillian Corrigan reminded us that he was born in 2016, during Helen's incarceration. Some people seem to have missed Eddie purchasing the limo. Several listeners, including Meg Burton, remembered that Eddie had purchased it to transport Clary for the renewal of vows. Emma Louise Woodward posted a one-word comment with just Adam, which engendered a few comments. There were differing views on the conversation that Adam started with Rory. Some thought it dreadful and cringy, but Lisa Marie felt that it was a very true conversation. Joanna Britton was touched and moved by it. Witherspoon approved and appreciated the changing relationship between the three of them. There has been some speculation about how Brian will react when he finds out. Poor Mia. I did see a discussion about the use of the word crush to describe her feelings for Rory. David Egan thought that Will's conversation with Mia was beautiful and painful in equal measure. Jessica Eden thought that Will was awesome. I think most agreed with those sentiments, although there was some surprise that Will could be so gentle. A quote from Drew Hamilton made me smile. Did I just enjoy listening to Will Grundy? This isn't the Archers that I know and love. The week ended with an Alice hook. I saw a thread over on Academic Archers where a member was disturbed at Jenny and Brian's reaction to Alice inviting Kelvin into the house, as Alice is an adult and can make her own decisions. Of course, most agreed with Jenny's actions, as Alice certainly isn't behaving like an adult. It was thought that Brian's comment about wedding vows was crass. I would expect much more conversation about that over the course of the weekend and next week. That's all for now. Bye.
Oh, thank you, Sandra, and to everyone who's posted their thoughts on the Dum-de-Dum Facebook page. Now, Twitter is where all this started, so it's time to crown our tweeters of the week.
This is my moment, isn't it, Philippa?
It is. Come on.
I'll celebrate my moment with three fine examples of how to say things in 280 characters. So here we go. In bronze place, we have Richard Beveridge, who can be found at Biffo Prop, who I should say beforehand had teased us, hasn't he, Philippa, that he was going to call in this week.
Yes, and he hasn't. I'm very disappointed, Richard. Come on.
I was disappointed.
Next time, please.
You know, he's a retired prop forward. He used to play in the front row, so he's first to be, you know, first in the scrum. He needs to be a first-time caller-inner as well.
Hmm? Unless he's the Anon of Ambridge.
Ooh.
Anyway.
Blowing my Kelvin theory. Anyway, talking of Kelvin, Richard posted this, and he gets bronze plates for this. Here we go. Kelvin, overseeing Alice's decline. Tumbleweed. Kelvin Klein. Kelvin Klein. Clever.
I thought it was to do with Kelvin, you know, the minus 273 degree temperature.
Kelvin.
I thought it was a physics.
Clever.
Oh, right.
Sorry, Richard, for them.
How is it spelt in the tweet, Quentin? K-L.
D-E hyphen K-L-I-N-E.
Yeah. See, I'd have got that. I was just thinking the way it sounded like a C-L. Sorry, you just didn't pronounce the letters properly. Otherwise, I'd have found
it. Decline.
That
how else do you say it? Kelvin, overseeing Alice's decline.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Richard.
Yeah.
That's a hard-earned bronze from Richard.
Yay.
Just phone
well
in
done,
next
Richard.
Time, Richard. It's easier. It's easier. Right. Making his hard work, you girls. Right. Can I get silver, please?
Please do.
Can you give me hard? Right, okay. Oh, right. So, silver. I like this one because it's in from Nick at Check Your Sheds. That's his Twitter handle. And he basically deconstructs his tweet and admits it's a pile of rubbish by the end of it, which made me laugh out loud, because actually it's funny because of that. So he initially tweets this, Nick does, talking about when Emma and Mia were talking. He says, "Don't worry, Mia, Emma can help. She knows all about heartbreak from when she left your dad for his own brother. You can't buy that sort of wisdom." So I thought that was quite funny. Then he obviously rereads his tweet and he goes, "By," because he's misspelt "by." He spells it B-Y-E. So he corrects it "by," you know, lots of hashtags and sweary exclamation marks. "Damn it all to hell." So he's cross with himself. And then Gwen Lawton chips in and says, "Mia's dad, Andrew," I think it's Andrew, "when would that have been?" So Nick replies to himself and to Gwen, "The actual makeup of the family didn't work for my sarky joke." So at the end of it, he's destroyed his own tweet, which was a funny tweet anyway. So, Nick, I salute you for that. That earns you silver. But in gold position, and it's because of two tweets that she tweeted. She's one of my favorite tweeters, is Sally Ronaldson, whose Twitter handle is MilonFred. And these two won a gold. She first of all tweeted, "Just clearing my browsing data. If I pass away, I would not want people to think the last thing I Googled was comedy sausage apron." And she clinched it with this one after the Tuesday episode, June the 1st, when Adam and Ian and Rory had their talk. She tweeted with a photo, "Comments from Adam tonight," and she's put up a picture of the record sleeve from the Smiths single, "Heaven Knows I'm Miserable Now."
Oh.
So well done, Sally. Gold medal winner this week. But
Yes, well done to all of those, and to you, Quentin, for finding them. Thank you very much. That's excellent as always. Well, to keep this podcast on the air requires some funding to cover essential costs. So if you would like to support Dumpty Dum, you can join the Dumpty Dum Patreon community for $2 per show. If you make your way to the dumptydum.com website, you can click donate at the top and follow the links to Patreon, or you can just go straight through Patreon. We'd be ever so grateful for contributions. And also, what really boosts the podcast profile is if you can write us a review on Apple iTunes, preferably glowing, please.
Remember, to get in contact, you can send us a voice message via SpeakPipe on the website, or leave a WhatsApp voice note or text to 07957 167 696, which is +44 7957 167 696 if you're outside the UK.
On Twitter, we have the @DumptyDum team, who are doing a fab job. And do remember, if you do want to tweet about the Archers, to always use the capital T and A when you use the hashtag the Archers, because it means the visually impaired can read all the tweets and chortle along like the rest of us.
Well, we're all on Twitter, squeezing every witty ounce of our 280 characters. Where can people find you two? Rosie?
So you can find me at Porty Rosie, which is PortyRosie.
And Quentin?
Yeah, I've got a confession to make this week. Yeah.
Have you?
I have, yeah. Because in the week that Rory came out to Adam and Ian as bisexual, I need to come out as bi-textual. I've taken a rest from my usual @QuentinRayner Twitter account just to clear my head, you know, because sometimes it sort of just grinds you down, Twitter. But I have had for a while another Twitter account, which is my Archers Twitter account, which a few select people know about. Yes. So my Archers Twitter account is @13MinuteMan. So that's @13MinuteMan. So I can't resist tweeting about the Archers. So that's where I've been prattling on about the past week, and that's how I found all your tweets. So I am one and the same. So if you go to that account, that's me, really. But that's where I obsess about the Archers.
I thought you might be Mrs. Trellis, the sweary lady.
Oh, I'd love to meet her.
Goodness, Quentin, what revelations have been contained in this episode?
It felt like the appropriate week to do it.
Oh, thank you for sharing with the group. And
I feel better. I feel better.
Very good.
We're here for you, 13 minutes.
And of course, I can be found at QuickBook Reviews. No W, it's a 3, as we all know. Look for the embarrassing orange picture of me reading a book.
We also need to thank our social media supremos, Cosmo for his podcast roundups, Shambridge for her wonderful voices, Mike Hatton for his character counts, and of course, the inimitable Lucy V. Freeman.
So, next week, will Lee fall in love with Joy and serenade her with his drums? Is Will Grundy going to open a relationship consultancy? Will Tracy's soggy sandwiches dry out? And will Jennifer put a brick through the shop window when she hears Peggy's confession? All will be revealed. And we end with some music, again, a slightly different one. This, we're going to end with music from the Academic Archers on Zoom. And I think it shows the gloriousness of Zoom sing-alongs and how you can have chaos in their glory. It's absolutely superb. It makes me smile every time I listen to it. So thank you so much for Academic Archers for letting us use it. Until next time. It's a bye-bye from me.
It's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Shopify helps you sell at every stage of your business. Like that, let's put it online and see what happens stage.
And the site is live.
That we opened a store and need a fast checkout stage.
Thanks. You're all set.
That count it up and ship it around the globe stage.
This one's going to Thailand.
And that, wait, did we just hit a million orders stage? Whatever your stage, businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/listen.